Hey everybody, it's episode 228 of PodQuest.
Woo!
Oh yeah!
It's Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. I am Chris, with me is Walnut.
Yeah.
And Druten.
I helped things up.
Yeah, you did.
He's not here. He's not actually here.
By like an hour. We've been over this before. I have a bedtime. It's 10 o'clock.
Me too.
I don't. But that's why I'm always late to work.
Exactly. You also don't have the commute that I have.
No. Like, I mean, I do have to take 290. That's kind of just as bad.
It was a mess today.
No, that's a lie.
Coming, what?
76 at 2 in the morning is as bad as 295 is at rush hour.
Well, yeah,
76 at rush hour is just a giant pile of wanting to murder everybody.
And that's why you don't take 76 at rush hour.
That's the only way to get to my club. That's the only way out of Philadelphia that doesn't add an extra 2 hours anyway.
What about the blue route?
Like, that gets just as backed up in rush hour. Like, it actually, it's more miles and takes just as long.
Yeah. When I used to have to come back in the like 5-6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, I would end up taking the blue route after about, once I got to that point.
So
on 76.
Coming back blue route, you're good. Going out, no.
Yeah, well,
because that's the problem. Because once you hit where 76 is, because like, the problem is, like, I have one client that's down 476, so I can just keep going on that one. That's not so bad. It's longer, just, like, distance-wise, but usually traffic's not that bad. The problem is, my client is off of 76. So even when I take 476, I have to get on 76. And it gets so backed up where those two meet that it is actually quicker to just sit in traffic on 76.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shit show.
And yeah.
It's never, there have been 2 days where there were no traffic in, like, recent memory. The day of the Eagles parade.
Okay.
No traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Christmas Eve, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Whenever the last time Christmas Eve was on, actually, it might have been last year because it was on a Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Christmas Eve was Monday this year.
No, it was Tuesday this year.
No, Christmas was Tuesday.
Okay.
Christmas was
Tuesday. So maybe it was a couple years ago then. When it was on Friday, because I was trying to remember when it was last on, like, a weekday.
This year, and then a couple of years.
Yeah. But yeah, any other day of the week, doesn't, if the weather is miserable, it's worse.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
which, that's, I mean, is a given, but, like, that graph that shows you, like, how bad it gets when weather turns bad, just exponentially goes up in such a way that isn't scientifically possible.
Yeah.
But it happens. Like, it's, like, you know, like, traffic's bad on a regular day. There's a light drizzle that happened at 2 a.m. and has since dried up. And for some reason, there's an extra 7 hours of traffic.
Yeah.
Panic.
I think the only place that gets worse traffic is
the circle,
Los Angeles.
Right by your house.
Well, I mean, that's a different shit show over there.
Yeah, I know.
But I think Los Angeles is the only place in the country with worse traffic.
Yeah, L.A. traffic.
Well, I mean, it's because L.A. doesn't really have any public transport infrastructure. So everybody has to drive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's terrible.
But how are you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Feeling
getting
better?
Getting over something. I don't know. Still feeling a little iffy, but I ate a lot for dinner. So.
Did you have some gluten?
I don't think so, unless my mom's trying to poison me.
Oh, how funny would that be if your mom just, like, said fuck it and just mixed everything together?
So I got to my parents' house for dinner on Monday, and she's like, hey, can you help in here real quick? And I'm like, yeah, sure. While I have my niece in hand, Tabitha, and she's like, can you mash the potatoes? I'm like, that's easy enough. I can mash them with one hand. Mash, mash, mash. Then she's like, oh, cut the bread too, please. I'm like, I have a baby in the hand. I shouldn't have a knife. Put the baby down. I'm like, I did, and she came back to me. Like, put her down. She'll come to me.
You need to start learning how to teach treat children like shit so they won't come over to you.
No, I love my nieces. They're adorable. But anyway, my mom's like, cut the bread. I'm like, why am I cutting the bread? I can't even eat it anyway. She's like, oh, right. I completely forgot. You know, why don't you try and have some? You know, it might only bother your stomach when you're stressed. I'm like, that's not how life works.
Look, I think your mom's a smart lady and she might know what she's talking about.
My mom is a special lady. That's the best I can say.
Seriously though, how funny it would be if your mom just forgets one day and, like, makes a meal that has something that's, like, bready in it? You don't realize it until you're, like, 4 or 5 bites in.
I mean, it would suck for me. I would be highly upset because I would not feel good for a week and a half plus.
Oh, it would be like a day.
And here's the thing. It's a possibility it happened on Monday because we had sausage and kielbasa. Who knows what was in the sausage and kielbasa? So
pig parts, most likely.
Well, yeah, but there could have been...
Could have been some sort of filler.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to watch what sausage and...
Have you actually found sausage that has gluten in it?
I mean, I don't often buy sausage, so no. But I've only
How
done, like...
How are you living your life?
Well, no, I don't... I mean, I'm
I don't more, buy like, it very often, either.
When it comes to breakfast, I'm a bacon guy.
Yeah, I don't like breakfast sausage, like, at all.
Oh, I love breakfast sausage. Like, a maple syrup, like, brown sugar sausage. I love it.
No, would rather have bacon or but, pork roll or yeah. basically anything else.
Yeah, I'm more of a bacon guy over sausage, but I'll do sausage from time to time.
I'll eat sausage if it's on, like, a sandwich, like a bagel sandwich, but it's never my first choice.
Yeah, bacon's my first choice. Well, pork roll would probably be my first choice.
Yeah, I mean, like, sausage isn't even, like, my third choice. Yeah. Sausage is, like, there's no other option, so I guess I'll eat it.
Yeah, I would actually be bacon, pork roll, ham, then sausage.
Y'all are crazy. Sausage is god tier.
Listen, we all know you're broken on the inside, so...
Look, sausage is only god tier when you cook it in bacon fat.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably does make it better. But
listen, it's ground up pig parts. That's all.
Fried in itself.
I would rather have the, like...
Just sliced up pig parts?
Actually, scrapple, too. I'd rather have scrapple over sausage.
I can't eat scrapple.
Oh, because there's, like, filler.
They put flour in it. So, it's really hard to find a gluten-free scrapple.
Oh, that's the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
It is. I'm so upset.
That means you can never have scrapple pie, either.
It means I can't have scrapple. Like, that's all I need.
Yeah, but, like, you could potentially find a gluten-free scrapple. Scrapple pie is literally, like, a pie crust with scrapple and, like, this, like, cinnamon crunch thing on top.
I mean, I'm sure I could figure out how to make it.
That's true.
All I need to do is find gluten-free scrapple, and I could probably figure out how to do scrapple pie.
That's true.
I made gluten-free beignets the other day on Monday, which is probably what actually got me sick and not my mom poisoning me. Because the insides were still gooey when I was eating them.
Yeah, that might have been a little raw.
That's not how you're supposed to eat things that.
The first five that I made, like, they were starting to get very dark in color. And so I guess I had they puffed up.
The oil was probably too hot.
It looked like they were done. And then I ate, like, all of them. And each one, like, got, the first few were fine. And then they got progressively more gooey on the inside. And then I made four more, but these ones, I was able to cook them all the way through, but they stayed dense rather than actually puffed out. And then, I think I started to feel sick before I got home, though, so I don't really know. It happens. Sometimes stuff comes out of both ends. Who knows?
So there was some news, finally.
Yeah, it's the new year. Businesses are back up and going.
New year, new news. Right?
I mean, I guess, like, technically that is true.
Yeah.
Like, you're not lying to the people.
No.
So, Spider-Man PS4, Marvel Spider-Man, might be adding Fantastic Four content.
just test that out, see if people want a Fantastic Four game.
So, Marvel Games tweeted, and for our final Fantastic Four week live stream announcement, something fantastic is coming to Marvel Spider-Man.
That sounds as straightforward as it could be.
Yeah, and they also they said the same thing on the live stream that, you know, Marvel Spider-Man was going to get something fantastic.
And you know what? I don't mind that as long as they, like, use commodities of successful previous games for each of the characters. So, like, The Thing could be, like, that Hulk, Incredible Hulk game from the GameCube era that was really good. Then you can have Mrs. Fantastic, I can't remember her actual name, Invisible Woman, whatever. She can be an espionage game. Then you have Mr. Fantastic, which is just, you could just turn Spider-Man into that, because he just stretches and flops everywhere. And then you have, this is a long bit going for just this one joke. You have Johnny Storm being Superman 64, flying through rings.
Just turn his microphone off for the rest of the show.
See, here's the thing. I can say these terrible jokes. I know he's going to remove the silence. So it's going to sound like you guys just breezed through it and kept going.
Edit that out?
No, I'm just going to leave the silence.
You won't leave the silence.
No, I mean edit his whole spiel out.
So
you won't do that either.
So I just want to double check something here. Like I realized that was like a little bit you were doing. Didn't really pay off, but I understand it was a bit. You know that the content isn't going to be people playing as the Fantastic Four, right?
Well, it should be.
No,
I kind of figured it was going to be Fantastic Four included. It'll like story content with you playing as Spider-Man.
Yeah, it'll probably even if it might not even be like actual content. It might just be like a DLC thing where you can go to the Baxter Building.
That would be the dumbest thing ever. Like,
if it's a free DLC, it's not going to be much.
If you're gonna hype,
all right, that's fair.
I mean, I would disagree. Look at Monster Hunter World. How much free DLC did they give us?
All right, if it's a free single player DLC, like story driven content, it's not going to be much.
Then hyping up something like this just to give you. And I know you were just saying an example, but just to give you access to the back, like walk into the Baxter Building or swing around it, that's just, to me, that's the dumbest type in the world.
Look, I'm not saying that the family won't be in the Baxter Building. Just like, I don't think they're going to give us a 3-hour story mission with the Fantastic Four unless they're charging money for it. Which, hey, maybe they are. Who knows?
Yeah.
Now that Marvel is close to getting back the rights to the Fantastic Four, they've been pushing them a little bit harder now. Like,
yeah.
They relaunched their book back in the fall. They're doing the whole, they did this Fantastic Four week thing where they were like announcing different things. So, like, I don't expect much, but I think it's cool that they might, cause that would be the first non-Spider-Man related, like, heroes actually in the game. Like, there's a bunch of Easter eggs for like the Avengers Tower is in it, and Jessica and Valius Alias Investigations is there, and you find Nelson and Murdoch attorney office, like little things like that. But there were no other actual heroes in the game.
Yeah.
Well, so did they do a season pass for Spider-Man?
I don't know if it was a season pass or if it was just the Yeah, I guess it was because the digital deluxe came with the three DLCs, and then I believe you could have bought a season pass that just had them.
Okay.
But all that was announced for it up front were the three story DLCs, The City That Never Sleeps or whatever it was actually called.
Then this could very well be entirely new season. So
I don't think they're going to do a full season of DLC. Like, they're going to be working on a sequel. Like, excuse me. The game sold 9 million copies. They're not going to sit on it too long. They're going to want to get a sequel going. Just because it doesn't have any... It doesn't have anything that's making them more money in a way that, like, a brand new title would, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, like, the quicker they can do a sequel, the more units they're going to sell. Because of those 9 million, there are plenty of people that aren't going to touch DLC.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that disliked the first round of DLC so much that they're definitely not going to touch a second round.
Yeah.
So, me, like, I didn't mind the DLC. Like, I haven't played the last one yet, but, like, the first two were fine. Like, they were enjoyable. They were more of a game that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it could be, like, an Uncharted Lost Legacy type thing. A standalone DLC, like...
Yeah, well, I mean, because that was weird, because that was supposed to be DLC, and then it just got too big for itself and became, like, its own sort of entry in the series.
Yeah.
Just at, like, a lower price point than a full-fledged game. Even though I think it was still, like, a six-hour game.
Something like that. And if you had already bought, like, the digital collectors or the season pass or whatever, you got it for free, essentially.
Well, yeah, I guess it wasn't technically free, but...
Well, it was whatever, like, the Ultimate Edition was, where you were supposed to get everything plus, like, the game plus all the DLC plus whatever else.
Yeah.
Like, you got it for, quotes, for free.
Yeah, you didn't have to pay $40 more to get it. So, Nintendo announced what new games are going to be hitting the Switch online.
Oh, what are they?
In January? It's January 16th. I know you were looking earlier.
Thanks for just telling me earlier.
I didn't have this open earlier.
Well.
But yeah, so on January 16th, the original Blaster Master and Zelda 2, the Adventure of Link, are going to hit the program on the Switch that has all the old games.
Okay. Just those two?
Yeah.
That's weird. They usually do about four.
Yeah, that's all.
I mean.
And then in Japan, they're getting a third game, Joy Mech Fight.
Okay.
Which I've never heard of before.
Neither have I.
Nope. Probably was Japan only game.
But I am at least familiar with Blaster Master and Zelda 2, The Legend of Link.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Like, I used to play Blaster Master. And the Blaster Master Zero is completely, if I remember correctly, is very different. Like, at least certain aspect-wise than the original.
So concept-wise, it's the same. It's the tank side-scroll platforming thing with top-down mazy exploration.
Yeah. Well, it's essentially like Metroid with a tank is what Blaster Master is. But like I don't remember playing like I have memories of playing Blaster Master when I was a younger person. I just don't remember being any good at it.
Are you sure you were a person?
That is debatable. But I don't remember like this one, like Blaster Master Zero was a lot easier than I remember it being back in the day. That was also, I probably didn't have the ability to actually play it because...
You weren't a person.
I wasn't a full person. Yeah. I wasn't a full-fledged person.
Someday you will be, though.
It's debatable.
I mean, it is, but, you know, trying to be nice.
I also remember playing a lot of, like, the first hour of Blaster Master and never getting beyond that.
Yeah, like, my memory is always turning it on and being in the jungle area, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But... when playing Blaster Master Zero, you started in a different area, if I remember correctly. So it'll be nice to go back to that and then maybe replay Blaster Master Zero to try it out again and see how they coincide with each other.
Yeah, that's fair. GameStop.
Yeah.
Might be purchased by another company by mid-February.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all know GameStop not doing as well as it once was.
Nope.
With rising digital sales and more bullshit taking up space in those stores, like, they're just not doing the business they used to do.
Oh, I went to the GameStop in the Cherry Hill Mall the other day, and it was just, like, you have half a wall dedicated to games, and then the rest is just bullcrap.
Yeah, like, that, like, so, like, I used to like going in the GameStop and, like, looking through, like, the dump bins and finding mm-hmm. some random fucking game for, like, $5 and, like, probably buying, like, 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that was $20. It was 4, like, used games. It was all profit for GameStop. And now they don't have room for that because 90% of their store is fucking shitty swag from ThinkGeek.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. They need
Funko and...
Yeah, like, I get it. Like, they're selling that stuff to try and make up for people not buying physical video games anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, people can't buy physical video games if you don't fucking sell them.
Exactly. And I think a lot less people are actually trading games in nowadays as well. So, that plays into it a little bit.
I think people are still trading them in a lot. I think GameStop is selling them online more often than they're selling them in stores, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are just buying used stuff right through the website.
Okay.
Because even the stores, like, unless somehow their back rooms just have an abundance of cases, which is possible. Like, they don't have the wall space for the amount of used games that are probably there.
Most of those back rooms aren't very big.
Well, exactly. Especially, like, the mall stores.
Yeah.
So, like, the standalone ones are a little bit better, but even those are much smaller and tighter than they used to be.
Yeah, and varying, depending. Like, I feel like the old EB Games ones had giant back rooms.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
But the GameStops didn't.
Because yours was a actual created GameStop, right? Yep. And did it have a big back room?
Fuck no. The back room was probably, the entirety of it was maybe as big as this living room.
I mean,
but that's also split between a bathroom taking up a third of it, and then, you know, the console room was another third.
Console room?
Where all the boxed up consoles were.
Oh, wow, you had rooms? Well, like, you had more than one space back there?
There was a bathroom, and then a second room. And then the walkway between.
Oh, like, were you ever in Westmont's?
I don't know if I ever went in the back room.
Westmont's was just a large open space with a bathroom in the corner that, like, did not take up the large square space that was the rest of the room. And the walls had, like, the slat walls so that you could put the shelving into it. So, like... Mm-hmm. You know, when you first walked in, the left-hand corner was where all of the used systems and new systems were stacked up. And then we had, like, boxes of, like, games and stuff back. But generally, like, that back room, like, had almost nothing in it. Because that was a big store, and it used to be an EB Games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they had the space where I think, oh, God, when I was, before, they remodeled it right after I left. And they did, like, the new cash wrap, but they didn't really lose much space when they did that. But if I remember correctly, so you had the long wall that ran back, the wall in the back that had the door in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and then the wall coming up the side leading back to the cash register, and then the wall in the front corner. So a lot of wall space. And then there were two, like, island racks in the back that usually had, like, either, like, previous gen games on them or, like, strategy guides at one point. Like, that section was kind of like the we don't know what the fuck else to put here section.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, six fucking dump bins throughout the store of games less than
$10. Mm-hmm.
Now you go in the GameStop and they don't, like, they don't have those. They have one little cardboard holder with, like, last year's Madden and that's it.
Yeah, it's like, I saw some cool things in there that I was like, you know, if I had extra money, I'd buy this. But it's going into GameStop is just depressing. Like, I hate it.
Like, so they've started selling old-ass games on their website?
Yeah, the stuff that they decided, like, a decade ago they didn't want to sell anymore.
Then 3 years ago decided, oh, fuck, we have a ton of these just sitting around.
Which, actually, it was more than a decade ago. It was like, when we graduated.
So. Yeah, before we worked there.
Yeah, like, 04, 05, they stopped selling anything pre-PS2?
Yeah.
Because I think by the time we graduated, they didn't even have PS1 games anymore.
And now they sell a bunch of them online. It's like, maybe instead of having all this bullshit probably no one buys, bring back sections of actual older shit you might get people in to buy some shit.
And it's a shame because that stuff, so it's guaranteed working. Like, they claim to test them, but that is a claim I don't believe from GameStop, because they also claimed that all the used games and systems were tested, and if it wasn't a handheld that we could just fucking turn on, that shit never got tested. Though I know some of the stores more recently got, like, these special stations that had all of the plugs in them, so they could easily just take a system, plug it in, turn it on, and it ran, like, this self-check to determine if it was actually working or not without you having to really do anything.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, when Adri still worked at the Evesham store, I was in there the one time, and she showed it to me. She's like, yeah, it's great. We just plug it in, and it does all this stuff and tells us if it's working. You just kind of have to push buttons on a controller, and it, like, registers that you hit buttons on a controller, and then it does some other weird utility things.
Neat.
But yeah, I mean, like, did you ever test a system unless it looked like it was probably broken?
I mean, testing consisted of taking a random used game, probably one they were trading in, plugging the system, turning it on, see if it loaded a game, and the buttons on the controller worked. The system could die 5 seconds later, for all we know, but it turned on and loaded a game. Cool. Yeah, and you get the full value for it.
You guys never sent, like, traded in systems and stuff, like, back to corporate or anything to check it or anything?
So when we both worked here, it was PS3, Xbox 360 era.
Yeah.
So PS3s had to go back.
Okay.
Whether they worked or not, they got sent back because at the time, they would not sell them right off the shelf. You'd have to send it back so that they could, quote-unquote, refurbish them, which was basically wiping and reformatting the drive.
Okay.
In case somebody had, because this was when Sony still allowed you to sideload alternate OSs onto it.
Yeah.
So they were making sure that it was actually, like, the stock version of the XMB and everything.
Yeah.
The Xboxes, you did not. You only had to send back the hard drives. So any used hard drive in a GameStop at the time was an actual, like, factory refurbished hard drive that they had sent back to their warehouse to, like, wipe it and put it in, like, a plastic shell, basically.
It's interesting.
I mean, there were, you know, some systems that people would bring in to trade in that did not work, and for a while you could take the non-working system, but they would get, like, if it was 60 for a working 360, they would get 20 for a busted one.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing with games. Like, if you look at, like, I always did look at the games. Like, I would take the game out, flip it over to see what it looked like. If the game looked like shit, you mark it as defective, and if they were going to get a dollar for it, they then got 20 cents for it.
Yeah.
And generally, like, it was usually the people that came in with the games in bad shape were the people that were coming in with the trash bag full of games and wanted cash for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I had absolutely zero remorse of ringing in their 42 games out of their trash bag and then telling them they were going to get $3.72 for
it. Yeah, because when you got cash for them, you even got less, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it would be like $3.72 and then they'd only get $2 because it was 20% less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
That's why I never felt bad pulling fast ones on GameStop.
But my favorite thing about that, like that whole thing, you know, somebody's going to get like $10 cash back for all the stuff they just traded in because all of it was broken. And then you tell them that you need to see their ID because you can't just give them cash. You need to like, I think we had to type it into the system, right?
Yep.
And then they would like throw a fit and like leave. It's like, really, you just wasted 45 minutes of my time because you don't want to fucking give me your ID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a dick. There's six people waiting behind you to buy things.
Yeah.
And you're the scumbag that just wanted $10 to go buy more crack.
Yep.
That's what it was. Like, you could tell. They were trying to buy drugs.
There was straight up I'm pretty sure it was a PS2, and then we were like, we don't even take these anymore. Maybe we still... No, we probably still
did. Yeah, PS2 still got... Because when we worked there, it was when they had lowered the price of the PS2 new to...
Right.
$120.
And, like, this... The top of this PS2, they clearly used to cut lines of coke on. Like, it was, you could see cut marks in it that had a white tint to them. Huh. It's like, we were not taking your coke, PS2, dude.
Yeah, like, there were occasions where, like, parents would come in with their kids to get, like, cash for trade-ins. And, like, the kid obviously didn't know they were trying to buy something that wasn't a video game and that was the only way they could make money.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I would look at the parents a lot of times in that situation. I'm like, look, like, they're trading all this stuff in that you probably spent a whole lot of money on. Like, they're not getting anything for it if you get cash. Like, they're already not getting much. But, like, if you get cash, it's even less. Like,
yeah.
Do you really want to do that? Like, you're better off doing store credit. Give your kid the cash of the store credit and then save the gift card for the next time you're going to buy the kid a video game. Because, like, not everyone was, like, a scumbag trading in for cash, but, like, where our stores were, that was the majority.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Audubon used to just, like, lock their doors at, like, 8:30 or 8:15. Just, that's when people came in with trash bags of games to trade in for cash. So they would preemptively lock their doors and not let anybody in for the last hour and a half the store's open.
That makes sense, kind of, but it's...
No, it's fucked.
It's shitty.
Because then they
would drive to Westmont.
Yeah, then they would drive to Westmont, and then I would have 15 minutes to do all that work, and then I'd have to put all the trade shit away, unless I was opening the next day, then fuck it. Or if it was anyone other than our store manager opening, I should say. Because anybody else opening, I would just shoot a text and be like, hey, there's trades, if you can do them in the morning, cool. If not, I'll do them next time I'm in. Like, just hide them someplace.
Yeah.
Our store manager was a dick, though, and he was lazy, and even though he wouldn't do the work, he'd throw a fit about work being left.
Yeah, it sounds like store managers.
Especially at GameStop.
Yeah.
Granted, like, not all the store managers are always bad.
So, they're being bought by who?
So, they're not definitely being bought, but there's two different firms that are interested in it. It's Sycamore Partners and Apollo Global Management. They're basically two, like, private equity companies.
Okay.
They're like the type of companies that just go around them buying other companies to try and like
kill Toys R Us.
So these two don't seem like those kind of companies. They're apparently the kind that are more interested in buying companies that are not worth as much as maybe they once were, and without investing too much money in them, trying to turn the business around to get a profit for it.
Okay.
So you know, like put $100 million in and maybe get $500 million out. But yeah, we'll have to see if it happens. It would happen in a month or so.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Moving along, Yoshi's Crafted World finally has a release date. It's coming out in March, on March 29th.
Okay.
It's that Switch game. It looks adorable.
Yeah, it looks neat and adorable, and like you can play on both sides of the screen or whatever. Like you can.
Yeah, you can like turn things because they're all like little dioramas made out of cardboard and stuff.
Yeah. I was like, that's so cool, and it's like, then you're playing the game through the diorama of cardboard, so you're seeing what they see, like, on the other side and stuff.
Yeah.
I love when Nintendo does that silly cute stuff.
And, like, Yoshi's Woolly World was a really fun platformer, too.
Yeah.
So, if it plays as well as that one did with an added little, like, fun gimmick, like, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And then, final game news, anyway. Nintendo could potentially move away from consoles. Like, no longer manufacture their own consoles.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, so the new president, whose name I do not want to butcher, said in an interview that, and this is a quote, "We aren't really fixated on our consoles. At the moment, we're offering the unique developed Nintendo Switch and its software. And that's what we're basing, how we deliver the Nintendo experience on. That being said, technology changes. We'll continue to think flexibly about how to deliver that experience as time goes on. And then it goes on. It's been over 30 years since we started developing consoles. Nintendo history goes back even further than that. And through all the struggles that they faced, the only thing that they thought about was what to make next. In the long term, perhaps our focus as a business could shift away from home console flexibility, or I'm sorry, could shift away from home console. Flexibility is just as important as ingenuity.
Okay, so, I mean, it's
not like, we're definitely not going to make consoles next gen, but if they hit a point where it makes sense as a business to not make consoles and maybe put their IP on other platforms, they're not necessarily going to not do that.
But I'm also, the way he said, like, unless it was, like, misquoted at all, he said home console. Handhelds. They've always done fantastic with handhelds. Like, they've even said in the past that their biggest market isn't against, like, yes, PlayStation and Microsoft are big competitors, but their biggest competitor they have always tried to fight with previously were, like, smartphones, like Apple and stuff like that. Like,
I think that was more corporate spin on why they didn't want to put out a console, really, when it came to, like, the Wii, a console that was anywhere remotely close to the power their competitors put out at the same time.
Yeah, because at that point, like, smartphones weren't nearly... Like, smartphones were the convenient option, but the games on them were pretty trash. They still are in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Ragnarok is now on smartphones.
I have no idea what that means.
It was an old school, like, RPG that, like, I remember Eric wanted to play it, and it was a free-to-play RPG back when we were in high school, like, when you guys were freshmen, and it was, like, a 45-hour long download in order to play this game.
So, what you're saying is a 20-year-old game just came out on cell phones. Cool.
But it's graphically updated. So Shannon's been playing it on Facebook.
I saw her, like, post about,
like,
that.
I've always been interested in that game. Never got to play it because it took forever to download, so I never actually downloaded it.
But, you know, you could have probably downloaded it in the last decade, and it would have downloaded in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, but now I can play it on my phone, and apparently it was a really good game.
How funny would it be if the download on your phone, for whatever reason, took like 4 hours?
Fuck that. I'd walk away. Or not walk away. I'd cancel it and never download it.
Why? Why not just let it download? Fucking download it overnight and just go to bed. Wake up with it downloaded.
I don't want a game that takes 4 hours to download.
God,
on my
you're
phone.
The worst.
Because then my phone would have no memory on it anymore.
Get a better phone.
I have an S whatever 9 or whatever it is.
It's not
get a
enough.
Better phone.
It is. It's the second best Samsung phone, I think, or the best Samsung phone.
Get an iPhone R79.
No.
358 by 2 days.
It would
Final Remix Deluxe Prologue Edition.
It would take longer to download on that than it would on the Samsung. And then my battery life would be even half as short as it would be on the Samsung. So no, I'm not getting.
So, funny thing. I was looking at Facebook earlier, and, like, I had that little prompt for, like, memories. And the memory for today was actually you tagging me and a bunch of other people in a post about whether or not you should buy an iPhone or an Android.
Yeah, and it was that was back in the day when, like, my smartphones were Apple phones. Like, Microsoft phone. I think first smartphone was
a
Microsoft
fucking
phone.
Windows phone, like a jackass.
I bought a Windows phone because I liked how it looked. Like, I saw reviews on it.
You bought the Windows phone because it had a fucking kickstand and came with Transformers 2.
Just because it came with Transformers 2.
Don't lie to us.
Not, it didn't have a kickstand, but it did come with Transformers 1 and 2.
Your case had a kickstand.
My case had a kickstand.
So I remember standing in line at fucking Otakon to get badges, and you fucking popped a little kickstand out, and you set your phone down and started watching Transformers 2, and we all started making fun of you.
I was watching Transformers 2. I was happy.
Arguably the worst of the Transformers before
I had
Mark
Transformers
Wahlberg came along.
One on it as well, I think.
Oh, did you?
I think it had both of them. But yeah, that was like, I was like, I need a phone, and so it was more of an experiment to see how Eric would react to it. And yeah, it was I called it Phone Wars, and I tagged people who were Apple users and people who were Android users, but I wanted them to defend the opposite. So I was like, I want Apple users to tell me why I should get an Android, and I want Android users to tell me why I should get an Apple. and I want to know what you guys, like, I want you to do the opposite of what you would normally do.
Let me, like, tell me about the thing you don't have any experience with.
Basically, I wanted multiple people to do the research for me, tell me the things that they found based on the research they found on the thing they don't normally use, and then go off of that. No, everyone instead just, Eric flipped out on me because that's what Eric always does. And then, my supervisor at the time, he actually was like, well, Android's got this. He actually, like.
Well, no, you had an Android phone when you posted this.
Okay. I think that's right. I had the Sidekick, the Android powered Sidekick.
Yeah. Cause one of the comments is actually Shahed going, it's not Android, dude. It's you picked a shitty phone. Don't pick a shitty phone and everything will be okay.
I mean, the phone wasn't that bad. It was.
You,
like the OS.
Your post goes on to say that it's bad and that's why you're thinking about getting an iPhone. So you're just contradicting yourself left and right today. Look,
that was also, what, 6 years ago?
2013? So, yeah, six years ago?
6 years ago.
Yeah, actually, yeah, today would have been 6 years ago.
I can't remember that far back.
I'm just saying, man, contradictions all over the place.
Hey, look, I just wanted
to... Get your story straight.
I just wanted other people to do the research for me, because I don't know what I'm researching, so I want everybody else to research for me instead, at least back then.
Anyway, this is kind of like a non-news, because it's kind of obvious. Marvel has kind of gone on to say that they are going to, or Captain Marvel, I should say, is planting seeds for Secret Invasion.
Okay.
Not that, you know, I mean, like, the only hero in that movie is going to be Captain Marvel, really. But I guess it's going to kind of set up for how a Secret Invasion could happen.
Okay.
Which is cool, because that's one of the cooler storylines in Marvel. Do either of you know what Secret Invasion is?
Nope.
All I know is when the Skrulls took over and you didn't know if the heroes or humans are Skrulls.
Yeah, so it was one of those storylines that sort of retconned a bunch of stuff in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Where a bunch of heroes turned out to be Skrulls, but they had been in place as Skrulls for years.
Yeah.
So, like, the actual heroes were, like, literally being kept prisoner on, like, a ship out in space.
Okay.
Including heroes that were thought to be dead that had, like, died as Skrulls, I believe, and then just, like, their bodies weren't found. I think, if I remember correctly, the whole thing kicks off with Spider-Woman dies.
Okay.
And, like, the final reveal page for, like, that, for the event to kick off in, like, an Avengers issue is them looking at Spider-Woman's body, I want to say. It's her suit on a Skrull, like on like a slab in a morgue.
Yeah.
And like, it's like Captain America and some of the other heroes sitting around like, the fuck does this mean?
Okay.
But that was back when Marvel events were still actually pretty cool, because they were coming off of, I want to say Civil War was just before that. So you had Civil War and World War Hulk were the two events that kind of like preceded that.
Yeah.
And those two events had kind of like, already sown a lot of dissension in the ranks of the Marvel heroes, and then all of a sudden, oh shit, everyone might be an alien shape-shifting villain.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's neat that they're setting something up for, what would it be, phase 4, I guess? Or, yeah, phase 4.
Yeah, it'll be phase 4.
Before phase 3 is even finished.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's neat that they're like, well, let's think ahead a little bit, because, I mean, technically you could... it depends on how Captain Marvel runs, but you could maybe argue that Captain Marvel is more of a phase four movie than it is phase 3.
No, I would say it's more phase -1.
Yeah, realistically.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's
phase 0.
It takes place before, but like the concepts in it and the hero itself, like it's really only an intro to how this hero is going to save everything in Avengers.
Yeah, but I mean, that Avengers movie is still phase 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, Captain Marvel is still phase 3.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, the reason they're doing this is because they're like, I mean, we're at the end of phase 3, let's let you know what's going on. You could technically argue that this is both phase 3 and phase 4, because this movie is only here, in place here, to prepare you for this character in Avengers.
I mean...
Like, if she wasn't in Avengers, they could have just had it after Avengers. They could release Avengers in March. Like,
I mean, hopefully doing this and kind of like sowing those ideas in there means that Endgame won't have that shitty stuff like Ultron did, where like Ultron went out of its way to foreshadow all of Phase 3.
Did it?
Well, yeah, because remember like there was, I think it was Thor and Tony both had like the weird out-of-body experience visions from Scarlet Witch that ended up like... like, Thor's thing had to do with Ragnarok, which ended up being the Thor movie, and then Tony's thing had to do with everyone dying.
Yeah, right. And like, but, I mean, Tony's thing with everyone dying, he's been seeing that since Avengers 1.
Yeah, but there was something else in that one. I forget what it was. Because Age of Ultron just wasn't very good. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as, like, the first Avengers or Infinity War.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with, like, pacing, because they were, like, kind of, like, forcing, like, little teasers and stuff in there that just didn't matter. Like, the whole Thor in a cave thing was stupid.
Well, and the thing is, they, like, if you watch the deleted scenes from that, from the Thor in a cave, it better explains things and sets things up, but because they had to take a lot of that out, they ended up just having Thor in a cave, and it was like, it didn't give you enough.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, it's like, you could have just not had that there then, if you were going to cut part of it.
Yeah, could have just, like, cut it, like, had him in the cave still, but not bring it as long as it was, like, just, like, have him see the history of the stones itself, and not key into Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Do we know anything for Phase 4?
Like, really? Movie-wise?
Yeah.
Spider-Man Far From Home?
Yeah, that's the first movie.
But that, like, that's it, is the Spider-Man?
I mean, there's a Doctor Strange sequel, and a Black Panther sequel.
Okay.
I'm sure, I don't know if there was Ant-Man Will Return or not.
Ant-Man and the Wasp Will Return in Avengers.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and Spider-Man all have sequels coming. Guardians Volume 3 was supposed to be part of it, but that's on an indefinite hiatus.
Right.
I think that's technically it.
Okay.
That there are other movies, like, announced that don't, like, there are dates announced for untitled Marvel projects, essentially.
Yeah. Right. Plus, with this acquisition of being able to use X-Men and Fantastic Four soon, who knows what they're going to bring into play.
Yeah, and there's enough time, so.
So, like, what I was going to say is, you know, hopefully it would be nice if Endgame actually kind of wraps up things pretty well and doesn't have to do a lot of exposition for the future. Like, it can, you know, leave an opening at the end, but not have to do as much foreshadowing as Ultron did.
That would be ideal.
And that's what Captain Marvel is going to be doing. Like,
that's an assumption.
Weighing down Captain Marvel with a bunch of bullshit.
So, well, they're not weighing it down. Captain Marvel is her fighting the Skrull on Earth. They're planting the seeds for the Skrull invasion having her do this stuff in...
So, like, the article that I read, they're not setting it up to be Secret Invasion next. They're just setting up the fact that, oh yeah, a Secret Invasion could happen, like, these are the Skrulls, this is what they do, they're shapeshifters, who knows who they might take over in the future, like, that sort of thing, because it is a 20-year gap between where Captain Marvel is and where the Avengers currently are.
Right.
And I mean, like Secret Invasion might not even be Phase 4, they might literally, like, push that out one as, like a tease, like, oh yeah, like, you thought we were going to just go right for Secret Invasion, but no, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do Secret Invasion.
And it's 20 to 30 years, depending on when in the 90s Captain Marvel is.
Oh, I think it's mid to late 90s.
Okay, so then, and the MCU, like, Iron Man wasn't till like 2010, so it's 10 years before heroes even come into play beyond her. So.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that they could potentially have in this movie is they could have Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, was it 92 or 93 that he killed Tony's parents?
I don't remember.
Come on, Drew. You're supposed to know this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But yeah, like...
As much as I loved Civil War, I can't remember that.
Yeah, it was the early 90s is when Winter Soldier murdered the Starks. So, theoretically, like, the Winter Soldier could show up to try and kill, you know, the weird space alien that's fucking punching old ladies on buses.
Yeah.
Probably won't, but that would be like a... Even if he's not in it, if there's just like an Easter egg for Winter Soldier, that would actually be kind of cool.
It might be. Like, if with her working with Fury and Maria Hill and stuff...
Well, Maria Hill is 12.
Well, yeah. Well, then at least her working with Fury, and I'm sure there could be like a wanted poster for Winter Soldier somewhere in any S.H.I.E.L.D. basin.
Yeah. Just like a blank face because no one knows what he looks like.
Yeah.
But yeah, last piece of news. Batwoman got a pilot order at CW.
Yeah, and that's... I honestly thought they already had a pilot order before...
There was talk about it.
Like, it was talk before the other Elseworlds even aired, So I honestly thought she already had it, and, like, you didn't really get much, and I felt like her part was kind of a throwaway part in that second episode.
I mean, it was, unfortunately.
Like, they should have, I feel like they should have, like, they made such a big deal about her being in it. She should have been in the second and third, or if not, all three episodes. Like, she should have played a bigger role, because they made her such a big deal about being in it.
I think it was more of a big deal because it was the first live-action portrayal of that character.
Yeah.
And it was also the first Bat character to appear on in the CW version.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's cool. Like, I don't think she actually didn't do a bad job. Like, I was hesitant just because previous acting roles I've seen Ruby Rose do just haven't been great. But, like, she actually wasn't bad in this. Like,
yeah, I didn't hate her. I thought she did fine. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do with this character. And these, well, like, these more so known villains. Like, more people know Batman villains than they do Flash and Arrow villains.
Yeah, so to be fair, they probably won't have many Batman villains, because they're not allowed to. If they have Batman villains, they will probably be, like, obscure Batman villains. But Batwoman does have her own villain.
Oh, they can't have, like, Joker or anything mentioned? Or, not mentioned, but in it?
No. Why do you think they didn't have Harley in it? And when they did the Suicide Squad episode, even though she was in one of the cells. Or the fact that they killed off Deadshot.
Oh, I guess because they're in the, that's right, because they're in the movies, they want to separate them. That's why they killed Amanda Waller, so that's right, I completely forgot.
The Batman side, anything that's Batman adjacent is basically off limits. So I'm actually surprised they were able to get Batwoman. I think she is, like, just, like, off to the side enough. Like, she's not a Robin, she's not a Batgirl. Like, Batwoman is very much kind of her own entity in the DC universe. Like, so Kate Kane is Bruce's cousin.
Yeah.
From his mother's side. But, like, she did not train with Bruce to become Batwoman the way, like, all the other Bat characters have. Like, I believe she was in the army. Like, her dad's, like, an army colonel.
Yeah.
And, like, she has worked with her dad in, like, this, like, weird government organization in the past. So, like, you can have her kind of divorced from what you think of when you think of, like, the Batman rogues.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you can't have, like, you couldn't have, like, some of, like, the more obscure ones, like Tweedledee and Tweedledum or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure
Professor, like, Pig.
Anything that Gotham was able to use, they might be able to use.
No, because Gotham was actually, like, okay to use Batman lore because of the way it was set.
Okay.
Because Batman wasn't in it. So that's why, like they were able to use, but apparently Batman is in it for the final season.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely Batman. Like, I haven't watched any of this season.
I haven't watched the first episode yet, either.
I stopped halfway through last season.
See, last season was actually pretty good.
Oh, I didn't hate it, I just stopped, like, there was too much, I was watching too much and trying to do too much, so I just stopped. I want to get back into it. It's kind of how I am with Doctor Who as well. He's definitely Batman in this season. Because, like, that was the whole point of it. It was like, how does Bruce Wayne become Batman, but let's follow the life of Commissioner Gordon while they do it? And it's like, oh, well, we're ending the show after 4 years? Five years?
I think this is the fifth season.
So we're ending the show after 5 years, so this 12-year-old kid has to become Batman by the age of 17.
So, to be fair, the show was originally pitched as, like, a Gotham show.
Yeah,
like, no. It was supposed to be about Gordon.
Yeah.
Bruce's story was not supposed to really be part of it at all.
But, like, I think a few episodes in, Bruce's story just got huge in it.
Yeah, that's because, like, nobody cared about Gordon in the way that they wanted them to, and, like, the police procedural set in Gotham wasn't entertaining. That's why, like, the first season of Gotham isn't very good. Like, it was a bunch of Easter eggs and not great stories. It was the second season when they started actually, like, expanding, like, the villains is when that show got good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so a pilot order doesn't mean a series order, but hopefully we get at least a season to see kind of, like, what that character can be like on television.
And see what they do with her crossover next season when they do.
If they include her at all.
I think they'll have to include everybody at that point.
I mean, I would hope so. A nice fight. It's a shame they don't include Black Lightning, but at the same time, that show is divorced enough from everything that it's not that big of a deal.
That's another alternate universe, right?
No. They've made, at least it doesn't seem like it. I haven't really watched the second season much, but in the first season, they made references to, like, the Flash and stuff. So unless they're talking about an alternate universe Flash.
It's possible.
But it seemed like they were talking about, like, the universe we're familiar with. And also, Crisis on Infinite Earths, it's all of the Earths.
Yeah, they're going to combine everything into one. I really hope they do that.
That show, Black Lightning, is just, it's a weirdly grounded show for a show about people with superpowers.
Yeah.
Like, I know that doesn't quite make sense, but, like, that's the best way to describe it.
I do want to watch it. It looks really good.
Yeah, like, it's not bad, but, like, he's fighting, like, gangs and drug dealers. He's not fighting, like, Zoom and Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all the news. You guys do anything?
I did a little bit.
What did you do, Drew?
So I finally actually downloaded Onrush. It was a free PS Plus game last month. It's a, like, racing MOBA, kind of.
Those words don't make sense.
Well, so the, it's an arcade racer, but there are creeps,
it's,
basically.
It's made by the same team that made, the Paradise, or Burnout games.
No.
Or the same people who made the Burnout
games. No.
Yes.
No, it is not.
Ask my brother.
It is a Codemasters game.
Is it made up of people that used to work at the studio that did Burnout?
No, they fucking... They made Danger Zone.
I was told that it was made by the people who made Burnout games.
I don't...
You were lied to, but I... Go ahead, Drew. I am doing a little research.
I don't believe it is. I know the people who made Burnout put out some games last year, but... I don't think anyone involved, maybe someone who used to work at EA and made Burnout is involved in that, but I don't, not to my knowledge, because it's...
So, the development team for Onrush was the team that made Drive Club.
Okay.
That doesn't help, but...
No.
Because that's basically the team that made Drive Club, when that studio was closed, they then, in 2016, joined Codemaster.
Okay. So, like, it's a 5-on-5 game.
Yeah.
It's got single player and online. And there are a few different game modes. There's one where, it's never about being in first place.
Yeah.
From what I've played.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another mode that I haven't tried out yet, but.
No, I played a handful. I think I played like 4 or 5 missions, on my dad's PlayStation back on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And it is straight up, like, each mission has an objective, and you essentially have to get to the points as fast as possible while getting as many, like, demolishes and breaks as you can on the enemies at a certain point. Like, it is lap-based. You're always circling around the same tracks.
Yes.
But, like, there's one mode where you have to reach these circles, and time runs down.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster...
You're trying to have the most people in the circle...
Yeah, or, like, get to the circle before time runs down. The first person to get to that circle, they get the more time added to their clock, or something like that.
So the one with the circle is you're trying to get people into the circle, and a timer will tick down, and once it runs out, you get a point. There's one where there are gates you have to drive through, and that adds to your time, and if your team's time runs out,
the other team
gets the point.
Yeah.
And then there's another one where you are building up score by boosting.
Yeah.
And just the team to have the boost get to the target score gets the point. And then there is I'm pretty sure there's a fourth one that I don't remember how it worked. I don't know if I played it.
Probably wrecking things. I can't remember. But it was interesting. I played it, like I said, it was interesting because, like, in order you... Like, the mode I was playing, or at least my dad was having me play, was essentially their, quote, story mode. And each mission, you can only use a specific car for that mission.
Yeah.
Up until a certain point when you could use any of them, but...
There were a couple where, like, you got the option between two cars.
Yeah.
At least early on.
We didn't even get to those points yet. Like, I had fun with it. I liked it.
And so the different cars will have different... abilities, basically. They all have a different, like, special. One gives boost to your teammates when they're near you. One puts, like, barriers behind you that will slow down enemy cars.
Yeah.
And you're building up boost by either running into these creep cars or, like, jumping off ramps.
Yeah. And it's essentially, like, each car is, like, a DPS and a tank, or in a way, like... The bigger cars are the tanky cars, and
yeah.
Feed boost or take boost away from the enemies or crush the enemies.
I don't know if you got to it, but there's one car that literally if you're boosting and there's teammates around you, you give them a shield.
Yeah.
So that they can take a hit from an enemy car and not get knocked out.
Yeah. It's a fun game. I do enjoy it. I wasn't that great at it when I first tried it, but
yeah.
After playing a few missions, I was like, this is something I can sit around and just screw off on for a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm using it for. It's like, let me kill 10 minutes. I'll load this up and play like two races.
Yeah.
And then I also bought NHL 19.
Oh,
because it was on sale, right?
Yeah, it was only $26. I wish I should have convinced a bunch of my brother's friends to also go buy it again and start the EA Sports Hockey League mode with them, because that's the thing I've had the most fun with. That
it might still be on sale. Like, there's another week of sales, and some of the stuff from last week is still on sale this week.
I might have to remember to jump in. I think Mortal Kombat is back on sale this week for $5.
Yeah, I saw Tales of Vesperia was on sale for like 15 from 60. And I've always heard those Tales games were pretty good.
Yeah.
They are. The Tales games are awesome.
But yeah, so I've played a little of that. Mostly been playing the 1v1v1 mode.
And that's... Okay. Yeah, that like three on, that like everyone against the same goal.
Yeah.
So do you have to like go back to half, like set like center ice and bring it in, or is it just
no
you like, can just get the puck and shoot it?
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
So like also literally hectic. Basically the entirety of the rink is like the offensive zone. Like there are boards, it's a D-shaped rink, there's a board at like where the blue line would be.
Okay,
so like you can't take it back to anywhere. Like if the puck goes out, it'll just respawn back near the top of the zone. So then everyone is rushing back to it. It's hectic. It's neat.
It sounds hectic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds fun, though.
Yeah.
I remember, what was it? What was the NHL demo that, like, everyone played at your house, like, this forever ago?
It was, like, the 08 or 09, probably.
And, like, God, you guys...
That was a long time ago.
You guys actually tried getting me to get into it, and, like, I sucked. I didn't understand how to play hockey at the time. And, like, I was always going off sides. You guys were always flipping out on me. Like, I don't know why you're having me play. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I never watched hockey before that time.
Oh,
it,
really?
It was probably one of those, and I think there was a time that there were five of us, and... I had six PS3 controllers.
Yeah, that's...
Seven PS3 controllers, because I was that person.
Yeah, that's what it was. I think
five of us were... We were all playing as a team.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to play hockey, and I was like, sure, I'll play this hockey game. I came here for Rock Band, but sure, let's play hockey.
Maybe you should just widen your...
Broaden your horizons,
yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
I mean, now I know how to play them. I don't know how to play it, but now I know... Now I know,
you know the you know basic what, rules of hockey. You would know what you were doing if you...
What is icing?
That is when the puck goes across all the lines or something like that, correct?
I mean, that's like halfway there.
Pretty close. It from behind your own red line.
Okay, yeah.
And so then and the other team touches it first.
Okay.
Because if you somehow hit it and then beat everybody else the fuck down there, it's not icing.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I kind of know it sometimes. I don't really know 100%, but kind of know it. I played a little bit of ice hockey on NES when I was a kid.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That is the most accurate representation of hockey.
Actually, I guess that game did have icing in it, didn't it?
It did have icing in it. It did. Because I remember that was the only thing I knew how to do, and I thought I was doing something good.
Didn't they get rid of icing for, like, a season?
No.
Or make it worse or something?
So
wasn't one of, didn't I vaguely remember them changing a rule that fucked everything up for a little while.
Well, so they've changed the icing rule, so you don't have to actually touch it now. Basically, it's a race to the face-off dots in the defensive zone, and if the defensive team gets there first, they'll blow the whistle for the icing.
Okay.
Mostly to try and stop the race directly to the boards and someone getting paralyzed,
which, you know, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's a fair thing to do
when you're sprinting full speed like 30 miles an hour on razor blades. And
listen, you make hockey sound dangerous.
It's almost like it is.
I mean, people have gotten their throats cut while playing hockey before.
Yeah, yep. It was back before helmets.
No.
No.
It happened to Zednik like 10 years ago.
God, was that... Was it that long, that recent?
Well, that's not the, like, uber famous one. The uber famous one was the goalie that it happened to, and that was like 30 something years ago.
Okay. And now all the goalies wear the things that go way
No,
lower.
Actually, like, they've, like, almost no one wears a throat protector anymore.
Really?
And actually, really, those were for slap shots more than the.
Well, yeah, because I mean, that was the fear for goalies, but, hit in the throat with a 105 mile an hour puck.
Now the masks kind of extend down a little more.
I can't really remember
anyone that wears like the dangling plastic protector anymore.
But that thing must have been annoying to have on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it was annoying.
Did you ever play hockey?
Yes, twice.
And were you a goalie?
No.
So then you don't know.
Don't act like you know things.
I kind of know things.
Were you ever a goalie?
No.
Then you have no room to talk.
No, I don't.
I'm glad we're in agreement.
A little bit.
Close enough.
No, not really.
So anything else, Drew?
Just a little more Overwatch, a little Dead Cells.
You haven't beaten Dead Cells yet?
Nope.
You need to get better.
I do.
Try harder.
I am.
Do less.
Okay. That might work.
It might. It just might.
Or do less, but also do more. Do less, but do less harder.
Now he's just not doing anything at all.
No, but I'm doing less very hard, so I don't know.
It might work.
So speed run it is what you're saying. Just get through these levels. Don't kill anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Try really hard to find the exit as fast as possible.
That is exactly what I mean.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Serge, how about you? What have you been up to?
Not really much. I got sick yesterday, so I didn't really have a lot of time to do anything yesterday. I was sleeping all
day. No, you had plenty of time to do everything yesterday, but you slept for 14 hours.
I slept till 5 o'clock, okay? And then I just laid down and did nothing.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Look.
I'm actually impressed.
Well, I woke up at 8:30, or I woke up at like 7:30, threw up, called out of work, went back to sleep till 5 o'clock. I think I woke up for like 10 minutes in between somewhere there and watched something on YouTube just to fall back asleep.
Nice.
But besides that, like, I haven't really done a lot. I had a kind of busy weekend this I became best friends with somebody on Pokemon Go. So now we're like the ultimate best friends and I don't have to worry about giving him gifts anymore. So we got 200,000 experience for doing that.
Was that close to a level for you or you?
I got to level 34.
Oh, nice. Of it.
I went from 33 to 34. And, yeah, it was super helpful because like, I believe it's 100,000 experience to get to best friend level with somebody. But if you use a lucky egg, that doubles your experience. You get 200,000 experience. So I was like, awesome, we're best friends, we got 200,000 experience, and then we went and fought in a raid, which should have taken more people, but because we're best friends, and using Weather Boost with the Pokemon we were using, we killed it in like less than 2 minutes. It was awesome.
What was it for?
It was a Machamp.
So it wasn't anything...
No, it was like a 3 or 4 star raid. I think it was 3 star raid, and we both used Lugia, and... both of our Lugia.
Oh, so you're those types of assholes.
What do you mean?
Using a fucking Lugia against a Machoke or Machamp or whatever?
Machamp, the strongest version of it.
Yeah, so you're using a legendary against just like a third form.
Because it's the strongest...
You're everything wrong with Pokemon.
No, it's a weakness. He's weak to Lugia, plus we had the weather boost because it was windy, so Lugia was even stronger because he's a flying type.
Sure.
I mean... Sure. Both of our Lugias.
He rolls in to fucking fight an Oddish with a fucking legendary, I bet.
No. Here's my Moltres.
No. I run in to fight an Oddish with a max level Charizard because when you play Pokemon, the only thing you use is your starter. That's how that works, right?
I've been thinking about doing a Nuzlocke run in a Pokemon game.
A what?
So you can only catch the first Pokemon you find in any area. That is your party. If a Pokemon faints, you have to release it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, yeah. Like, you might lose your starter at the beginning of the game. And, like, to be fair, you don't have to release it. You have to, but you do have to at least put it into the storage.
You just
storage.
Can't use it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eh, that sounds like fun.
They're tough.
Yeah. But I mean, can you, can power up your Pokemon, though, right?
Yeah,
like,
but...
You
so,
can, like, level and stuff.
So, say you want for your team... So you want, like, a Nidoran for your team. And, like, they're in that opening area of the game room. Like, that little side area. But the first thing that pops up is a fucking Mankey. You can't look for a Nidoran there anymore. The Mankey is the only thing you can catch.
Yeah.
If you don't catch the Mankey, you can either look around for another Mankey or just move on.
Okay. That still sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, just tough, because there's certain areas where, like, there aren't a lot of fire Pokemon in the game until the end of the game.
Yeah.
Except there's the grass, there's two areas where you could potentially get a Growlithe or a Vulpix, depending on what version you're playing, prior to the Celadon Gym. But they're both slightly rare in, like, the traditional, like, Red and Blue and Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, the odds of one of them being the first Pokemon to pop up in those areas, pretty fucking low.
Yeah.
But, man, are you going to have tons of Pidgeys, Caterpies, and fucking Zubats?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, true. I wouldn't be against it. I really want, like, it no, sounds like something I kind of want
to
try
out. Yeah, it is actually a cool thing to do. It's just, it can be fucking rough.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, I did some Pokemon Go, played some more Valkyria Chronicles, not too much more, and then, I've been doing some multiple campaigns of D&D prep, one for the campaign with Druten and Eric, because we haven't played in 3 months, so I have to remember how, like, remember everything.
Wow, has it really been that long?
Minimum 3 months.
Yeah, it's like either September or October.
It might be. You guys are the worst adventuring party ever.
Yeah. And then I'm DMing on Friday night, so I need to make sure I have things prepared. I have no idea where you guys are deciding to go, so this is going to be fairly interesting. I have a few things prepared here and there, but not an entire world built, because you guys can do whatever the hell you want right now.
So everyone has to decide to go in a different fucking direction.
If you guys decide to split the party like that, campaign over, the Titan wins, and we'll start a new campaign. Six. What would be? It would be a 1-2-4. It would be a 6-party split. No, 3-party split. A 2-party split maybe, but a 6-way split. No way. I'm not managing that much, and that would just mean, all right, you guys have a month downtime, figure out what we're doing, and then reconvene and continue on doing what you're doing.
And you're not a very good GM, are you?
No, that's. That's how somebody...
Also, realistically, like, if we were to split the party 6 ways or whatever it is, how many... 5-whatever of a...
5+ Xerox, so technically...
Yeah, 5 or 6 ways. Like, if the encounters... realistically, the encounters should stay what the encounters would have been. Any one of us would get fucking wrecked.
Yeah.
In a encounter built for 6 people.
I mean, that makes sense.
And on top of that, just because they're not going along with the story doesn't mean this is a video game RPG. The world continues to move forward. The Titan will essentially attack while they're all off doing their own bullshit and destroy the world. Game over.
Oh, so do you have, like, a big villain?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a big bad.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you just were kind of...
No, my goal for the next campaign or the next leg after we get done this is to make it a little bit more open world. Okay. Kind of like how Mercer does with campaign 2 of Critical Role.
But was the first campaign much more like structured?
Yes and no. Like, because they were such high levels at the point that they started, I think they were level 10, 11 when they started the stream.
Oh, I didn't know they were that far along.
Like, they had a set goal to finish off with, which led into something else, which, like, they did end up going and doing, like, character-specific story beats, but essentially they did have arcs of primary, like, big bad goals that they needed to complete as well. Okay. At one point, most of the world gets ravaged by a handful of ancient dragons that they have to fight. Then Vecna, they deal with Vecna at the final arc, which is a big bad god. But there's, like, parts here and there where they don't, where it's like, all right, we just got done a major campaign. Let's do some fun stuff and, like,
character have fun
character story beats instead of being serious the entire time. So it's an interesting way to go, because when you go an open world campaign, they create their own villain. The players create their own villains.
Yeah,
based on the actions they do,
which, you know, makes sense.
So, like, if essentially the heroes could be the villains. If they just become murder hobos, which I really don't want you guys to be murder hobos.
So, just curious, say, you know, the next thing we go for, the boss fight we get to, shit happens and we all die.
Okay.
What, do you have a contingency for that?
The world ends, the next campaign picks up 50 years in the future as civilization is rebuilding itself.
TPK. I have story beats for each of the stones. I have things to do for each of the stones. I don't necessarily have a contingency plan. And if there happens to be a TPK, that will end the set. So say, like, you go to the next area, and you guys all die the second you step into the next area. We will end the session right there, no matter if we've been playing for an hour or 5 hours. We will end it right there. I will give you guys a month, or I'll give you guys 2 weeks. Do you want to continue on or not? Do you want to keep these characters or not? If you do, then I will write it in something else. I will like, make it so that you guys didn't die. But if you're all like, we're fine with new characters, that world's just completely destroyed and we'll start a new world.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it's... Like, because I've already talked to... Like, I can't remember if I talked to you about it, but I've talked to Alex and Brandon. They both want new characters. Like, Alex wants to stick with a cleric, but doesn't want to stay life domain, and she doesn't like being a gnome. So, she wants to try something. She wants to be more... She wants to be like a trickery domain cleric instead of a life domain cleric. Like, more of a trickster, more of a playful person, and less of a, I'm here to heal you. Brandon doesn't want to have spells anymore. So he's just like, I want to punch things. Sean's like, he's like, he could take it or leave it either way. Of like, because I asked him, I was like, when we're done this campaign, do you want to continue with these new characters or do you want to start a new character? And it's, if, say, you and Erica want to keep your characters, but the rest of them don't, then I'll figure out a way to make that work. But I might, unfortunately, like, drop your guys' levels to lower levels.
Just roll a new character.
Yeah, if more than half the group is rolling new characters, it would be, if you want to keep that character, you can, but you're going back to whatever level I decide to start everybody at. Because it's just, I don't want you to be level 10,
and then
everybody else jump into the game with level 10 characters. I would want everybody to be similar levels. So it's like, I try to keep it fairly open with that aspect of, alright, if everybody died, how do you feel about that? Did you die because you guys aren't really into your characters, or did you die because you made a mistake? And if you want to keep that mistake and continue with these characters, I can figure that out. But if anybody in the group's like, well, I just want to get rid of my character anyway, but more people want to stay, then I'll be like, all right, one of you has actually died, but the rest of you is wake up after being captured and stripped of all your equipment.
Okay.
And then it's an espionage type thing, trying to find all your equipment and shit and get out of the scenario that you're in or whatever. I could figure it out. It would be fun. But, yeah, I mean, besides, I haven't really done much else. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, I've been kind of boring lately.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have.
Yeah, shit happens.
I've done some stuff. I beat Celeste.
Okay,
nice. Or at least, like, I beat, like, the main, like, story of Celeste, I guess you would say. I have to go back and collect a bunch of stuff to open up, like, the final area, the core of the mountain. But... that's going to be hard, because where that stuff is in the levels, like, so that game does the nice thing of telling you how bad you suck at it by showing you, like, your death counts and everything. So, like, it shows you at the end of a chapter what your death count is, and then it also shows you when you go to, like, load your save file what your death count is. My ending death count for the game was 1,777.
Damn.
Why did it have to be 1777?
And I believe I had over 600 deaths on just the last stage.
Damn.
So the last area of the game actually is, it incorporates every type of obstacle you've had since the beginning. So every, like, weird thing that you have to deal with, there's, like, a section for that.
Okay.
And most of those sections are even harder than they were the first time through. Cause, like, they're new. They're not like, it's not just doing the same thing. It's like whatever type of weird obstacle was in a certain area is now here too.
Yeah.
And some of them were easy and I breezed right through them. And other ones I died over and over again because of just, so there was one in particular where you have to, it was a really long thing before you would get to, like, a checkpoint, but you basically had to jump diagonally, boost diagonally, hit the little diamond that resets your boost, boost up to grab a wall, move up the wall, jump around spikes, hit another boost, does your boost, to then boost up to hit a spring to knock yourself out so that you can then let yourself fall just a little bit to then be able to boost one more time diagonally to grab a wall to climb up onto a ledge. But that doesn't hit you at a reset point. After that, you then have to do one of these things where you're jumping over spikes, hitting a thing to recharge your boost, and then boosting up without ever hitting anything, because everything above and below you are spikes. And it's not like, it's not super, super complicated. It's just all about timing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Joy-Con isn't great at, or not the Joy-Con, the, playing that game in handheld mode, the analog stick isn't great for that, like, sort of movement. Just, and it's not even the analog stick. It's more like the way you hold the Switch in handheld mode. So, like, it's just a little more boxy. So, like, if you're not very, very kind of aware of what you're doing, you'll find yourself maybe hitting diagonal up just a little more than you mean to.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trying to actually just go straight, you end up having it just angled enough up that you hit diagonal and then hit spikes and die.
Yeah.
And then you reset all the way at the beginning of that area. So, like, that one took me quite a while to get through. And then there were a few other sort of just weirdly complicated ones that it was all timing. Like, I could not get the timing down to, like, boost through, like, a real small opening or something like that. But, like, I finally got to the end, and it actually felt like an achievement. And that's a really good game, and I highly recommend people play it.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of people I'm talking to, or a lot of people I know, are like, play Celeste, get Celeste. And I'm like, games to play right now.
So the one, I know, like, a lot of people online, especially, were kind of talking about, like the story for the game. And, like, the story isn't, it's not a super, like, deep story as far as, like, content goes. But I think, like, a lot of people praise it for being very aware of, like, mental illness, like, anxiety, depression, stuff like that. And, like, it definitely is. Like, you look at that and you can see kind of how they're using the story of this game to kind of tell a story about somebody with those sorts of issues.
Yeah.
And I think it seems like they do a really good job on it, which, like, that is also nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, I played a little more Bayonetta. That game is fun. I'm probably just going to keep playing that, so.
Does she still get naked when you cast spells?
So it's not really, I mean, I haven't gotten to a point where, like, I cast spells. But it's basically this thing where if you do the right sort of combo, she raises her hands up and all of her hair makes a giant boot that comes out of a portal in the sky.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, her clothes are her hair, so there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But, like, the way the camera works, like, you can't tell that that's happened.
Yeah.
I
just remember that was a big deal in the game for.
Yeah, it's goofy. Like, the game does that, like, very Japanese thing of it's a little too sexualized.
Yeah.
But, like, the combat's really good, so you kind of look past the campiness and weirdness of the, like, style of the game when it comes to, like, the story. Because, yeah, it does have really good combat. Like, the fighting feels good and fun. I also played a little more Stardew Valley.
I love that game.
Erica bought it. And then, like, she's sitting there playing it. I'm like, man, I forgot. I really like that game. So then I picked up my Switch and I just started chopping down trees and going into the mines and killing slimes and stuff.
I haven't played that game in a while, probably since Memorial Day, Labor Day weekend.
It's fun. I like it.
I tried to get a few of my friends into it, and I was like, hey, here, check out this game. And then I started playing. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. I'm teaching you how to play this game. I forgot.
But, I mean, I was telling you before we started, I'm still making my way through Naruto. I have maybe 20 episodes left.
Okay.
20 non-filler episodes left.
So, like, 58 to 60 episodes.
Yeah, but I'm skipping the filler, so I have about 20 episodes left.
Yeah, I know.
It's cool. Like, they're at the weird point where, like, Naruto and Sasuke are definitely overpowered, but the villain is also way overpowered, so. Well,
yeah, it's Naruto and Sasuke. Not overpowered. Naruto and Sasuke essentially become demigods, and they're fighting a god. So, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, not really. Like, do they have the palm things yet? Like,
yeah, they just got the those.
Dots on there.
So they both got, like, almost murdered.
Yeah.
And then, they both had their weird experience with the Sage of the Six Paths and him basically saying, like, I fucked up and I picked one son over the other, but now I'm just going to give both of you power because you're just the reincarnations of my sons.
Yeah.
And now, they're fighting. Well, not even fighting. Right now, Sasuke is just thinking about his brother and.
Yeah. And this is what I meant by, like, I know you don't consider it filler, but it is. Like,
but so
we're seeing the story.
It's canon, though. Like, it's from the manga.
But we're seeing the story of Itachi killing his family again.
But so, like,
this is the fourth time they've shown this.
And that is one part of one episode. The other three episodes are actually showing Itachi growing up, which is, like, it's expanding his character in a way that you didn't get before.
But I didn't need that.
See, I like that.
Like, I didn't need four episodes for it. Maybe an episode.
I didn't need them to spend 20 episodes showing me what happened in the Chunin exams they ran while Naruto was off training with Jiraiya. I didn't need that when it was in the middle of the fucking war. But this is okay, because it's like three episodes, and it's being bookended with what they're doing in the present.
I think they just went a little overboard, and it's, like I said last week, when it came to, like, Bleach did the same thing, like, they might have spent a manga, or, like, a chapter in a manga doing this Itachi backstory stuff, but they're spending four episodes doing Itachi backstory.
Yeah, but, I mean, how anime does it. They're stretching it out.
And in Bleach, like, when they had the soccer and the baking and whatnot, in that mid arc.
No, that was just 100% filler. That was never in the manga.
They each had like a page tops, like maybe panels for it that they turned into full episodes. Like, you expand too much on it. All right, if you want to make those nods to the manga, that's fine. If you want to show me Itachi's backstory, that's fine. If you want to show me Obito's backstory, that's great. But if you're going to show me the same backstory 15 times, condense it.
But so I mean, the part of them showing Itachi kill the family is, like, the end of the last episode. Everything else is stuff that we've never seen before.
But it's all stuff that we know, that, like, he did it to protect his brother, that he did it because he was ordered by...
At the end of the fourth episode. The other three episodes are literally him as a child with Sasuke as a baby. It shows him becoming a ninja for the first time. It shows that his dad, like, it shows how the Uchiha got to the point they got. Like, it shows how after the Ninetales attack, the city decided to literally move them to the outskirts of the village by themselves. Like, it added to it.
Yeah, but I just feel like they added...
But...
They took too long to show.
I think the thing is, too, you were watching it as it was releasing, so you were dealing with all the long, shitty filler arcs.
Yeah.
Breaking up what is actually, like, a really kind of intense story.
Yeah.
So, these three, four episodes... I'm not watching any of that filler, and I'm not waiting week to week for it.
Yeah, like, that was...
Even waiting week to week for these four episodes would have been completely fine. Waiting week to week after having to... after waiting half a year because of the filler was bullshit would have sucked.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of how you have to look at it. Like, don't watch shonen anime week to week. Like, wait till it's done, and then just watch all of it.
But then I'm never gonna watch any of it, because it's just too long.
I mean, you watch, like, two episodes a day, you eventually catch up.
Look, in, like, a week, or I believe it was January 19th, I can't remember for sure, but I believe it's starting January 19th, you have to watch one episode a day of Game of Thrones to watch every episode until the start of the next season. I believe it's, like, January 19th. That's what I gotta do starting in...
Have you never watched Game of Thrones?
I have. I've watched every episode.
You just want to rewatch them all?
I just want to rewatch it all.
Fucking nerd.
I want to do one episode a day until the premiere.
I mean, that's fair, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I almost done Naruto, so I'll be done that probably by next week.
Yeah.
So watching Fairy Tail, it's a fun show. It's kind of camp. It's campier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's fun though. Like, it's not a bad show. But some of the campy stuff is just a little, like, meh. Like, the one main character, and this could be, like, more of a dub issue, too. The main character, like, his, like, big line is, like, now my belly's full of fire or something like that, because he eats fire to, like, power up. And, like, it's just, it's super, super cheesy.
Let's believe it.
But at the same time, like, it fits the show in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, the show is very campy, and it's very much... Every character in this show is very much Naruto in the, like, friends are everything, friends are what matter.
Yeah.
So, but Erica and I also watched, the Amazon series, Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Okay.
Or Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Do either of you guys have Amazon Prime?
I do.
Yes.
I couldn't remember if you both canceled it or what.
No, we have it.
I canceled it last year, but then I picked it up for Christmas, and now I'm paying monthly.
I know, you can pay monthly.
You can, it's like $12 a month.
I suggest checking this show out. It's one of the Amazon Prime originals. Did either of you watch House of Cards?
No.
The lead actress was on like two seasons of House of Cards.
Okay.
But it's a 1950s housewife, becomes a stand-up comedian.
Interesting.
Specifically a 1950s Jewish housewife becomes a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
It's super funny. It's two seasons. The first season's eight episodes. I don't know if the second one's eight or ten. But it's got like a bunch of like historical like comedians to like an extent. Like, Lenny Bruce has been in multiple episodes.
Okay.
Or like a guy playing Lenny Bruce anyway. Yeah. It's got a lot of famous-ish people too. Like, Tony Shalhoub, the guy that played Monk, plays the lead actress's dad.
Okay.
Jane Lynch played like a female comedian from the time too. Not like a real one, but like a caricature of apparently like a few. But it's basically the lead actress, her husband has an affair and leaves her after failing to become a stand up himself. And she gets drunk and like just storms up onto the stage at the place that he had been going to do his shitty stand up routine and like kills it, but also gets arrested. And then, like, goes back, like, 2 days later, drunk, does it again, gets arrested again. And, like, from there, it's just kind of, like, her literally trying to make a career out of being, like, a stand-up. And it's incredibly funny. Like, in a way I didn't expect. Like, Erica watched the first episode without me. She thought it was more of, like, a girl show. And then she's like, you should watch this. I think you'll like it. And, like, we ended up watching the whole first season this past week.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds... I have seen advertisements for it. I've been interested in it. I just haven't gotten around to watching it.
The lead actress just won the Golden Globe for Best Comedy Actress.
Okay.
So, and I know the show was up for Best Comedy Series, but lost to some random Netflix show I've never heard of. Like, if that show in The Good Place lost, the show that won better be the best fucking show in the world.
Yeah.
Because The Good Place is easily the best comedy on television.
Yeah.
The best comedy being produced for people to watch on a television right now.
I'm behind on that. I haven't watched it in like 2 months.
Oh man, you missed the Janet episode?
I mean, it's all on Hulu, so I'm sure.
Oh no. So it might have been the last episode before the break. Janet played everybody.
Oh god.
So like that actress was every character, and she did such a good job.
Oh my god. I'll have to watch
it. Yeah, because they end up in her world for a reason. Like, okay. Her void world. And in order for them to not, like, evaporate and die, she has to make all of them her.
Okay.
And then to tell them apart, she just puts them all in the clothes they would normally wear.
Okay.
So, like, it's all this actress dressed as each person, but she acts like them too. So like when she's cheaty, she's like super indecisive. When she's Jason, she's a fucking idiot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was such a good episode.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Have you seen that show, Drew?
Nope.
It is, like I said, it is probably the best show on TV. Like hands down. I know you don't watch a lot of scripted television, but like it is genuinely probably one of the few shows that are like genuinely worth watching. Like, it is well-written, well-acted. It, like, you will actually find yourself laughing at it. And it's got Ted Danson. Everyone loves Ted Danson.
Everybody.
And Kristen Bell. Everyone loves Kristen Bell. Like, yeah. If you don't like those two, you're a fucking murderer.
I mean, I can't say I've seen anything Ted Danson's been in 30 years.
Doesn't matter. He was in Cheers.
Yeah, that's, like, the only thing.
You ever saw Becker?
No.
Or, Becker can't say I ever watched so Becker. Good.
Or Getting Even with Dad?
I've never even fucking heard of that.
I think that's what it was called. It was hit. It was with Macaulay Culkin.
I don't know.
Let me double check that's the name of the fucking movie.
Like, I know of Becker. I definitely never watched Becker.
Becker was so good. It was hilarious. There's this asshole doctor. So funny.
I mean, legitimately, like, the last sitcom I watched with any regularity is, like, honestly, Seinfeld in syndication. Like,
so, it was called Getting Even with Dad. It's a 1994 comedy starring Macaulay Culkin and Ted Danson. Macaulay Culkin is the estranged son of Ted Danson, who's like a petty criminal, basically, planning some sort of like robbery. I don't remember like everything for it, but I remember it was a movie of that era. It was kind of like that one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Chevy Chase, where Chevy Chase was the stepdad.
Sure.
Man. You guys don't watch movies.
No, I don't.
I don't remember that movie either.
I know you don't. You should.
Eh.
Stop being boring. Watch a movie.
Eh.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I also read some comics. I'm trying to catch up on some comics.
Yeah.
I finished Spider-Geddon, which was, like, surprisingly good. Normally, Marvel events, they, you know, they start good and then just fucking fizzle out into a disappointing ending.
Yeah.
Spider-Geddon actually stayed pretty strong all the way through. And the tie-ins were interesting, because it was another one of those, like, all the spider people from different universes had to come together to fight, like, creatures that go from universe to universe killing spider people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they come up with interesting spider people. Like, that is where you get, like, Spider-Gwen from, and, Penny from the Spider-Verse movie, the little girl and the robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, those sort of characters came out of Spider-Verse from a few years ago, and this is sort of the sequel slash conclusion to Spider-Verse.
Okay.
And they did the cool thing of Peter, like, main universe 616 Peter wasn't really part of it until the last issue.
That's cool.
Like, they purposely kind of wrote it where he was off dealing with one of these villains that has kind of been a thorn in his side for a long time on his own. Like, because everyone else had to go deal with, like, the bigger threat that was the whole family. He's just like, I'll take care of this guy. You guys go figure out what the fuck's going on and fix it. So, like, this way, like, they got to spotlight, like, Miles and Doc Ock, Spider-Man, and all these, like, alternate universe characters that you don't see often. Like, Spider-Gwen's had her own book for a while, and she's always around. But, like, you don't see a lot of, like, the other Spider-Girl, the other daughter of Peter and Mary Jane from another universe, or Spider-Punk, or the fucking Power Ranger Spider-Man that fucking has a giant robot with a sword.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like, he looks like a normal Spider-Man, like, in a suit, but he has a fucking giant, like, Power Rangers Megazord with a big-ass sword.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, it, like, I wouldn't say it was the best ending ever, but it was, like, the most, it was the most, like, all right, cool, that was a good ending to what this story was.
Yeah.
Like, way better than what Marvel has been doing with most of their events in the last several years. And then I read some DC stuff. So I'm caught up on the Heroes in Crisis story.
Okay.
That thing is fucking, it is depressing in a weird way. Like, not like a bad way, but they're basically, I don't know if you guys remember, I talked about this a few months ago when it first started. It's basically, DC has explained that Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman set up this place called Sanctuary. That's, like, random place in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
That they're, like, rehabbing.
Yeah, like, heroes can go for, like, therapy that, like, it's all autonomous. Like, nothing's recorded. It's all, like, it's, like, a robot made with Kryptonian technology that, like, Batman programmed with, like, Wonder Woman's compassion or something stupid like that. So, like, anyone can basically get whatever help they need. And then something fucking goes wrong, and everyone there is murdered except for Harley Quinn and Booster Gold. And, like, it's just, each issue is, like, showing you people from there. Like the third issue is Wally West. And it's him, he's gone there because, in this continuity, he lost his whole family because, like, time got reset or whatever the fuck they did. So, like, every time you see him, he's basically having this computer program simulate his life with his wife and children that don't exist anymore in the world that he's in. And the woman that was his wife thinks he's a fucking creep. Like, his life sucks.
Yeah.
And, like, so he's spending weeks just, like, having this simulation pretend that, like, he still has his family. And it's fucking depressing.
Yeah.
And then he gets fucking murdered.
Damn.
With every other hero at the Sanctuary.
That's nuts. That does sound like an interesting storyline to read.
Yeah, it's been really cool. And it's issue 4 is the most recent one out of 9. So it's still got a while to go. So, like, we haven't really gotten anything yet. But, like, the most recent issue was the one where it seems like things are going to finally start picking up. Because it was the two people that are like under suspicion for the murders are Booster and Harley, because they're the two that were found there alive.
Yeah.
And, like, Booster says Harley did it, or Harley says Booster did it. So, yeah. But this most recent issue is basically people that believe them just went and found them. So, Blue Beetle, who's another random hero that has a history of teaming up with Booster Gold, just found Booster and broke him out of, like, Justice League jail where he's being held.
Yeah.
And then Batgirl actually tracked down Harley and, like, basically said, like, I believe you. I don't think you did this. Let's go find out who did. And that's a really weird fucking team up. Like, Batgirl and Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing where that goes. And then, the last thing is, Batman. Like, just the regular Batman book. Ever since, Dick Grayson got shot in the head a while ago.
Okay.
And now he has, like, permanent brain damage and isn't Nightwing anymore. He thinks he's somebody else. He forgot everything. But, Batman sort of lost it after that. And, like, the issue after that, he tracks down the guy that shot him in the middle of Russia and beats him half to death, breaking his neck and then leaving him to die in Siberia. And then ever since then, he has just been going from kind of like shitty villain to shitty villain, just beating them to like a pulp, trying to find out who the fuck hired the guy that shot Nightwing.
Yeah.
And it's the Penguin shows up in one of the issues and tells him that it's Bane. So this whole thing is him thinking Bane's involved in it. But Bane's like, every time, everybody that he asks, and when he goes to Arkham himself, Bane is just this like broken shell of a man now, who spends all of his time crying in his cell. And like, it's being written in such a good way that you cannot tell if, you can't tell if Bane is actually the one behind everything and he's putting on this act, or if Batman's being lied to. And it's really somebody else pulling the strings from, like, who the fuck knows where.
Yeah.
But, oddly enough, both that Batman and Heroes in Crisis are being written by the same guy. So, like, this guy is doing, Tom King, is doing a real good job of fucking with people. But he's also the guy that had all the death threats last year, that he had to actually get a bodyguard for Comic-Con.
Really?
Because of the wedding issue, where Batman and Catwoman didn't get married.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like... like, DC had to hire a bodyguard for him, because people suck.
Wow.
But yeah, like, those two books are probably two of the better books, like, running right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to seeing where both of them go.
Those sound like pretty decent books.
I have a huge backlog right now that I'm just kind of slowly making my way through.
Yeah.
I got so wrapped up in, like, trying to, like, just power through Naruto that I just haven't really read in, like, the last, like, three or four weeks.
Yeah, makes sense.
Actually, maybe more than that. God, I don't remember. Because I already had books that were kind of, like, sitting on the back burner that I was just kind of letting build up. Mm-hmm. Like, they were, like, limited series and, like, stuff that had, like definitive endings to them. That I'm just like, well, I'm just going to let this play out, and then I'm just going to read all of the issues, like, when it's done, rather than waiting a month between them.
Yeah.
So, like, I had a bunch of that build up, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch this 500-episode show real quick. Whoops.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's all I have, too.
There's one more thing that I just want to mention. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. There's a podcast called Angel on Vine. I'm sure, like, on every podcast app that has ads, you hear it, I'm sure, and every major podcast was advertising it for a while, similar to how they had the Wolverine...
Yeah.
A Long Night.
Which they're actually releasing as a comic now.
Are they?
Yeah.
I want to read that, because I want to re-listen to that, but, that was a cool story. Anyway, Angel on Vine, I believe they're wrapping up season one, because they released weekly, but if you have Stitcher Premium, you got it all right away or something, or you got most of it at a certain point and the rest of it at another time. I believe season one is wrapping up their weekly season next week, or their weekly release next week. And my God, is it an amazing story. Like, it is very intense, keeps you on the edge of your seat. I unfortunately feel like I guessed it from the beginning. Like, I guessed it very quickly. Like, cause it's a noir whodunit type of thing where you're following a detective back in the 50s. He's trying to figure out who was the murderer to this woman of a famous murder in Hollywood. And, like, so he's the only guy who got close to figuring out who it was, or might have figured out who it was. And, like, this most recent episode that released yesterday, which would be episode 9, I believe, like, kind of hinted at what I was thinking most of the time. And so I was like, this is one reason why I don't like these noir-type things, because I generally figure it out right away. Or pretty quickly. However, the acting is amazing because it's tons of real actors. Luke Cage,
Mike Coulter.
Mike Coulter. He was a major character. Joe Manganiello, or however you pronounce his name.
Manganiello. I think he plays that anyway.
He's the main character. He's the main voice you hear throughout
all of it. Just call him Flash Thompson.
Even like, Kerry Payton, who was, what's his name?
Isn't his name Kyrie Payton?
Kerry.
Is it Kerry?
I believe it's, he was on a few episodes of Critical Role. I believe they called him Kerry Payton.
Every time I saw him on Walking Dead, I could have sworn they were calling him Kyrie Payton.
I can't remember, but he played Ezekiel. He's done a few parts, and it's like, for me, knowing a good number of these voice actors, I can actually, like, Alan Tudyk was in an episode or two. Like, I can actually, like, oh yeah, that's Matt Mercer right there. I know that voice. Or that's Travis Willingham. And it's like, the voice actor collective that they have for the show is amazing. The sound quality is great. And it's just such a cool story. And I'm excited they're wrapping it up. And if you haven't watched it yet, you really should. It's just, or not watch it, listen to it yet. You should. It's a cool story, and it's no more at this point. Like, at the end of it all, I believe it's half-hour episodes. It's no more than 5 hours. So it's a quick, like, story you can listen to on your way somewhere or whatever.
I have too many podcasts for that already.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're ever, like, on a train or whatever, I don't know. Dude. When you're not doing anything.
Remind me when it finishes, because I'll probably download it all and listen to it in a day at work.
Yeah, I mean, the last episode should come out next Tuesday.
Okay.
I believe. Like, I'll listen to the next episode, which, I'll listen to next week's episode, and if it's not the last episode, then when the last episode does air, I'll let you know. It's a really cool show.
So I'm just going to read this tweet real quick. So Chris Evans,
oh,
2 days ago tweeted something.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted, "Dear All Technology, remember the 90s when you just worked? I don't need a smart feature on my TV, thermostat, lights, music, refrigerator, security camera, and effing car. You're a major pain in all our asses. You're not worth it. Signed, everyone." Robert Downey Jr. then responded, "Hey, Mark Ruffalo, looks like Cap needs a little tutoring from the science bros." And then Mark Ruffalo responded to that, "Call or DM us whenever you need assistance at Chris Evans. Also, language."
That's amazing.
Yeah, I saw it posted on Facebook, and I'm like, that looks a little too good to actually be real. So I went and I found the tweet on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, like, sure enough, like, those are the first two responses.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's not necessarily the first two responses, but those are
the top responses
of the thread.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure other people responded to it, but that has the most likes, so that went up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's about Excuse me.
Yeah, so that's a show. We'll be back next week with more stuff, I'm sure. Next week is one of my on-call weeks, so might be a weird episode, but we'll definitely have one. Yeah. So if you want to find more of our stuff, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can support us at patreon.com/onequest. You can find our podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, etc. We're on Facebook with facebook.com/onequestonline. Instagram and Twitter are both @one_quest. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo. And you can always send us an email at social@one-quest.com. And that'll do it. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.